86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tuesday. Big thanks to Ty Simpson, right? That was a little snippet from his pregame speech ahead of that Georgia game this past Saturday. A lot of people think he sounds very similar to Chase. They think he sounds like a guy that spent years here that was responsible for a number of national championship games. I wonder why. It's almost like he learned from his former coach, man. Now, all seriousness, though, that type of leadership, that fires me up, man. I mean, that's reminiscent of just kind of, you know, the sounds of what I used to hear being in the locker room. But it's kind of interesting, though, hearing it from him. You know, normally, you know, I have a bunch of coaches. I'm sure you guys have seen the snippets of Coach Saban, Kirby, all those guys. But to hear Ty kind of taking on that role, man, he said, look, we need somebody to step up and be that guy, that vocal leader. And maybe they don't have the same guys on staff, right? Or, you know, this culture's a little bit different. But he said, I'm going to put it all in my hands. But anyway, thought that was pretty cool to start with. That being said, it is a Talking Tuesday. We're going to talk a lot. I definitely look forward to talking with you guys. You guys are in that co-host chair. If you guys would like, meaning call in, we can talk about whatever. If you guys see the title on the YouTube stream, again, we do stream every day live at the Miller's Edge. Check us out if you guys want to watch us do the show here. Completely free. But again, make sure you guys at least check it out if you want to see the, you know, the breakdowns and stuff, because obviously you have to watch for that. But anyway, if you're on radio, good deal, man. Always appreciate all radio listeners as well, because that's where we primarily base. That being said, the title is Alabama Vanderbilt Early Preview. So we are going to start to look ahead towards Vandy. Again, they will travel to Tuscaloosa this weekend. College game day coming here, Chase. A lot of people thought it would have been the Florida-Miami game and things this weekend. But with Florida not looking too hot, they obviously changed course and said, hey, why not go to Tuscaloosa, where it's technically a revenge game for the Crimson Tide, coming off a big victory over Georgia and facing the team that really kind of set in motion some of the, I guess, the trials from last year. The Vanderbilt Commodores, undefeated team, led by a fiery quarterback in Diego Pavia, who does not lack an ounce of confidence, man. This guy is going to be ready to play. And we're going to talk about him and his team, what they've been doing, excuse me, what they've been doing well, and what this matchup can look like. But again, we got all week, so going to pace ourselves. But we'll do a little bit of an early preview on this matchup, because I definitely have some general thoughts going into this game as of now. I've watched them a little bit. I watched their most recent game against Utah State. I need to go back and watch some more of the South Carolina Vandy game as well. So again, I'll keep breaking down this game, this matchup, previews, all that stuff. Throughout the course of the week. I know we also need to get back to some of the interviews that we missed yesterday. Spent a lot of time talking about the Georgia game and also talking with you guys. So we need to go back and hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer, who spoke to the media yesterday. We did not hear from the coordinators, but I would love to at least get to some of that. I know we talked a lot about the defense. I'm very curious to hear what Kane Womack had to say during his press conference. So I definitely want to get to that. Try to get to some of Ryan Grubb as well. Maybe what we'll do is, while we're playing, Chase, I think we should do this. While we're playing head coach Kalen DeBoer's press conference, we can try to at least cut up or find exactly what we want from the coordinators. That way we can trim down some of that interview, and then we have plenty of time to talk with everybody else. So we'll probably anticipate doing that. That being said, that's kind of what's on tap. Plus, me and Chase were talking about this before the break, because I know it's been gaining some attention. I know it's probably ruffled a couple people, and I didn't really think too much of it initially, but I guess it is kind of interesting to see this now. But there's going to be a special visitor in town. Now, I don't know who they chose for guest picker. I don't think he has anything to do with that. But allegedly, there's going to be a former quarterback in town for this game, and he's not a former Alabama quarterback. He's not a former Vanderbilt quarterback. He's actually a former Texas A&M Aggie. That's none other than Johnny Manziel. He will be attending this game. And not only will he be attending the game, he will be attending my buddy's new bar that was opened up, Two Dimes. Great venue, by the way. A lot of cool stuff down there. But allegedly, he'll be attending the game alongside he will be attending the game, but he'll be attending the bar alongside, is it Colby Covington, Chase, I think, who was a UFC fighter who's friends with my buddies that opened the place up. But I guess Johnny Manziel is making his way to Tuscaloosa for this game, and he actually is going to be on the sideline. And not only that, not on our sideline, but on Vanderbilt's sideline. But even to take a step further, he plans on wearing a Diego Pavia jersey, right? So, Chase, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if this is like a troll. I don't know if it was a bet that they had. I don't know, Chase. I mean, what have you gathered from this whole thing? I mean, is it not kind of random that he's coming to Tuscaloosa to support? I mean, I understand maybe him being a fan of Pavia, right? I think maybe they probably have a relationship, but the whole showing up on the sideline, wearing the jersey, I mean, it almost seems like it's like a troll move, right?
Christian, you said it well, man. It's good to see you. But honestly, I think it's corny. What does Johnny have to do with, like, you know, I'm a very calm person, but this kind of got riled up too. Like, what are you doing in Tuscaloosa, respectfully? Like, you have no ties to either school. You went to A&M. Now, if I'm not mistaken, A&M is playing somebody, so why are you not there? I know he goes on nightcap with Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco, but I just don't understand it. Now, if Bama wins, you better not step foot in Tuscaloosa ever again, because the way they're going to clown him for supporting somebody that I don't understand it. I know Vanderbilt is hot right now. You know, they're looking really good right now, especially beating South Carolina a couple weeks ago. But you're risking a lot, you know, and Vandy doesn't need that traction right now because they already have targets on their back for all the talking they've been doing these past couple of weeks. So you add somebody like Johnny Manziel, who is known for being a trash talker, who is known to speak his mind, who doesn't care. You know, he beats the drum to his own beat. It's just interesting to me, Christian. And then I'm hearing, like you just said, you confirmed it, he's going to be at a club the day before that. Like, what are you doing? Like, that is it. What?
well, here's the thing. Obviously, me and you have we've gone to Two Dimes. Again, great venue. We went and watched the boxing very match there. And yeah, man, it's awesome. They did a really nice job with everything after redoing it again. It used to be Druid City Music Hall, but here's one thing, because I know a lot of people, the bar itself was catching flack for hosting him or having him. But I'll just say this, man, they're interested in entertainment, right? And it has nothing to do with, I know he's an op, right? You know, he not only had come to Tuscaloosa and beat us, that was the first game I ever attended here in Tuscaloosa, actually. But obviously, he's going to be on that sideline. So I get like the frustration, but to be clear, I mean, Colby Covington, the UFC fighter, he's also going to be here. They host a number of people, right? I mean, literally, whether they're musicians coming to entertain or even just people just coming to check it out, because it is a really cool venue. So I wouldn't take it too personal, right? Again, I know the guys that own it. So, I mean, they're good people, man. They are Alabama through and through. But they also like entertaining people and hosting people and showing people, you know, Tuscaloosa and obviously the new venue that they just opened up. So that's really what that is. I don't think it's anything crazy. If anything, I think it's kind of, when I say cool, I mean, like, hell, I mean, if people want to, you know, jar a little bit, now hopefully not, I, when alcohol and stuff mixes, I hope it doesn't get like out of hand, but people want to talk some smack or whatever, debate, cool. To me, I like welcome stuff like that. I think it's fun as long as it's controlled and people aren't, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, there could be worse people, I guess. Like, I know people aren't big fans of him because, I mean, look, he shredded us when he was at Texas A&M. But, I mean, there could be worse people. I mean, like, literally, imagine if it was like, now, if it was Cam Newton, right? Who I have no problem with Cam Newton. Hell, he's my teammate. And honestly, one of the coolest teammates I've ever had. But I could understand people a little more frustrated, too, because, you know, Auburn guy, everything with, you know, him and the university. I mean, I could get, that would be a little crazy if they're hosting Cam, even though I wouldn't even think it was that crazy. Cause again, I think it's a form of entertainment. Again, it allows people to, they want to jar back and forth with them. That's fun. Cam would welcome that too. So I feel like it's similar with this, but not even on that same level. But here's Johnny, here's a quick little clip before we hit our first time out of him discussing being on the sideline and I guess how this whole thing came to fruition.
They got their work cut out for him.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, this is not your father's and grandfather's Vanderbilt.
I went to dinner with Diego Fabio tonight. They hungry. And guess what? I'm going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama on Saturday, and I'm on the Vandy sideline. I'm in a Fabio jersey.
Ooh, yeah. Because Alabama say, we owe y'all after what y'all did us last year. We owe y'all
ring
big time.
It on is what them boys are saying.
I mean, so he is talking that talk. It's interesting. Part of me, though, really feels like this is almost a way for, and I'm not saying this like, oh, like I'm some dude in the spotlight. No, but it almost feels like he's kind of trying to ride the spotlight, right? Him going to this game for Pabbi. Like, I'm sure they're cool and they have a relationship, but it also, look at all the attention it's bringing on him just by him attending. I'm sure part of it is calculated too, which again, I mean, hey, I mean, he's trying to do media, not trying, he's doing media now. He's, is he just a guest on Nightcap now, Chase, or is he doing it pretty frequently? I know he's been on there a number of times. I don't think he's like full time, but anyway, I don't know. Maybe we need to get him on the show. Maybe we need to reach out and see if he'll hop on here and, I don't know, explain his move and at least give his thoughts on the game. He's clearly very confident. He said, Pabbi said, those guys are hungry, which I mean, I don't know how he doesn't understand that our guys are pretty damn hungry too, given how last year went. Right? How week one went and they know what it feels like to be ridiculed in the media. It's going to be a good one, man. And we're going to talk about it. But first, we got to take a time out. When we come back, we'll break some stuff down, take a little bit of an early preview on this Vanderbilt matchup. But first, we actually need to go to head coach Kalen DeBoer. So we'll hear from him, listen to his press conference from yesterday, where he does preview the Commodores, also give some updates on the team, thoughts on last game, obviously. But we definitely need to touch on some of those injuries because I do think they can have an impact, not only in this game, but moving forward. And we'll discuss how it may look moving forward to try to, I guess, make up for some of that stuff. So all that coming up right here on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast.
Wait, call now, 800-601-7780, 800-601-7780.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results may vary.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, so I'm just reading some more of these comments about the whole Manziel thing. Patrick says Manziel is a punk. Hey, you guys really don't like him, man. Tia said, what would Johnny Manziel be without Alabama? I mean, I guess Alabama, him beating Alabama definitely gave him that big boost. But, I mean, we are talking about a Heisman Trophy winner, to be fair, right? Which a lot of that, again, did come from beating big, bad Alabama. But I will say this, man. I get, you know, the pro stuff didn't really pan out for him. But can't deny in college, man, I mean, the dude was insane. I mean, again, I watched him in person here in Tuscaloosa and just watching him. I mean, he was like a magician at quarterback. And we've all heard his off-field struggles. I mean, I'd argue if maybe he had his head on straight, maybe things might have worked out a little bit better for him long-term. But nonetheless, man, I always give credit where it's due. And I know he might be a little distasteful and annoying and whatever, you know, people might feel about him. But there's no denying when it came to playing quarterback at the college level, I mean, he was insane. Chase, were you watching a bunch of Manziel when he was playing in college? I know you're a little bit younger than me, so you, I was in high school. So you might have been in middle school, man. Do you remember watching him at A&M?
Man, do I? man, he was just on highlight tapes over and over on my YouTube feed. You know, just him him scrambling from sideline to sideline, breaking ankles. You know, I think when A&M hosted Bama that one year, and he just was running around like tag and just threw it up in the air and just made a first down. I was like, that's insane. So I do agree with you 100%, Christian. You know, he is a Heisman winner. You know, if things would turn out a little bit better off the field issues, probably in a different career. So, you know, he has his accolades. But, yeah, he was a monster at A&M.
Yeah, he was. No, he definitely was. And, look, man, again, I mean, he kind of set the tone for – look, I'll be honest. I mean, like Coach Saban literally told me when he was recruiting me, a 195-pound outside linebacker, we're recruiting you because you're, you know, a lengthy, athletic guy to stop quarterbacks like Johnny Manziel. So I guess I kind of need to tell him thank you, because maybe if it wasn't for him shredding Alabama's defense in, what, 12 and 13, I might not have been recruited here. They might have just said, oh, we'll stick with all our 265-pound outside backers. So I actually probably should tell him thank you, because he might be one of the reasons that Coach Saban looked in the direction of a tall, skinny outside linebacker from Columbia, South Carolina. So thanks for that. Real quick, this last comment on it. he says, what about Manziel going to this club? It's about the stupidest crap, I'll say, that he's going to be talking before the game, being on Vanderbilt sidelines. That turd is a punk, plain and simple. Like I said, guys, I think it's more so entertainment. If anything, I actually think that's, to me, like, I would like if they did bring, not just them, but anybody, you know, opposing figures from other schools. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's like somebody has said, I think, in the chat, like, makes, like, a great, like, storyline or something. Just kind of, I feel like, brings some more entertainment to it. Like, so, like, if you had, I don't know, who are some more figures that, I don't know. Who do we even play after Vanderbilt? Is it Missouri? I think we go to Missouri. Regardless, I don't even know who you'd use from there. But anyway, I think it could be good entertainment value. But that being said, let's do this, because we're already at 11:30, man. We're rolling. How should we do this, Chase? Should we go ahead and let's do this. Let's go ahead and hit this break to stay on track. I know we got Cutie on the phone line. So what we'll do is we'll go to the phone lines when we come back, because I want to make sure we get people on. I know they got stuff to do. So we'll hit our quick timeout and stay on schedule. Go to the phone lines. Then we'll make sure we hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer. Break down this Vanderbilt matchup. We got plenty of time. Give you guys a sneak peek on my initial thoughts. And we'll keep on rolling. But again, make sure you guys check us out on YouTube during the breaks. I do interact and talk during the chat, or with the chat, excuse me. So I can answer questions on here during our timeouts as well. So again, that's at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, completely free. Come check us out. All right, quick timeout. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Nissan Pathfinder. More selection, more value, and a lifetime powertrain warranty on every unit you purchase. No one beats the savings at Townsend Nissan Tuscaloosa.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Make sure you guys go check them out, Midtown Village, where you find them. Again, they are responsible for those premium art sports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it. They will take care of it. Again, walk-ins are welcome. Just go head on over in there. And they've got all types of stuff. They've got shoes in there. They've got foot massagers while you're waiting. I mean, it's incredible. First-class customer service. And if you're not around here, don't worry. Go to their website, goodfeet.com. You can schedule an appointment, find the nearest location to you. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. All right. So we were talking a little Vanderbilt during the break here with our YouTube stream, and I'll definitely dive back into that. Just some early thoughts on it. Maybe take a look at some of their personnel and talk about that. But first, go to the phone line. Stay on schedule. We got QD up first. QD, welcome in.
What's up, Christian?
Man, I can't call it, brother. How's everything?
It's good, man. Everything's good. Just lifing over here, man. Been a minute since I was able to call in, but I listen, man. I'll be on the YouTube channel, man. But I had to call in. You know, that's Georgia week, man.
Talk to me, man. What'd you think, QD?
I got two words for you, man.
What's that?
Kane Womack.
Oh, man.
What about it?
Come on, man. Come on. Wait. Everything in that game. Come on, man. Come on, QD.
Hold on, Chris. Hold on, man. Last year, I had two words for you. It was Nick Sheridan. Now, my bullseye has moved on to the defensive side of the ball. This man, Kane Womack, is going to cost us our dreams and aspirations, Christian, if he don't get his S together. Now, every person that knows ball, defensive ball, from yourself, Ryan Anderson, Roman Harper, your dad, so on and so on, has called out this man's crazy schemes and antics as a defensive coordinator. Mugging inside linebackers, getting our secondary in crazy positions. Look, have you seen the video shot? Even DeBoer asking him what the hell happened on that first drive?
Yeah, I saw that.
And they showed Mo Link was walking by looking at Kane like, man, what is wrong? Wait, what are you doing?
He was probably frustrated because he felt that the secondary got put in a tough spot, which they did. I mean, again, Georgia picked up a first down, and we went like a zero blitz right there, first and 10. And, you know, it's funny. I rewatched parts of the game today, and when I came across that play, not only was it, you know, I get being aggressive at times, you know, element of surprise maybe, but here's the problem. There was no element of surprise. We literally lined up in that look, like everybody was crowded on the line of scrimmage. And so it's like whether Georgia checked something or whatever, even if they just had a play in there, but they just knew they had a shot on the outside, a quarterback knows immediately, okay, I got cover zero. I'm taking the shot right here. And that's a tough spot for a guy. And I know people have jumped on Damani Jackson, which again, he was playing corner there, but he got hit with a double move. And when you're in zero like that, I mean, like, he's man on an island by himself, and he knows the pressure's coming hot. So typically, as a DB, you're expecting the ball to come hot, right? Because it's cover zero. You're blitzing the whole gang. Everybody's going after the quarterback. So they're trained like, okay, ball's coming out hot. So that double move was honestly a really good call. Like, to counter that blitz right there is tough. And that's why you go and say, well, number one, why would we do a zero blitz right there? I think they're on like the 11-yard line or something. It's kind of random. Maybe they thought they're going to go quick and just run the football. But two, like, maybe not just sit there and just like everybody crowd the line of scrimmage and you're showing what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So that one was, I'm not going to lie, that was pretty bad. I agree with you.
And then had the nerve to say, my bad. People pay millions of dollars, man. This is serious business here.
Wait, when did he say that?
Oh, yeah, he said that. He's like, oh, that's on me, my bad.
Wait, did you read his lips or he's like in the press conference?
Yes, man. Yes, no. On the actual, he actually said, that's on me, my bad.
Oh, so you're talking about you read his lips during the broadcast?
Yes, man. Yes, okay. Man. Okay. Look.
Yeah.
Look,
well, like I said, go ahead.
What's his daddy on the sideline? I want his daddy on the sideline.
Wait, you
he
want
his? He consulted with his daddy. Yes. Apparently, our defense plays better when his dad's there helping and call the defense. Get daddy back to help you change. You ever seen Minister Society? You ever seen Minister Society?
Yes.
It's an old, you know, Kane. That's what I think about. You know that thing with his daddy? You know that thing with his daddy? He shot old boy, and he was calling his son, Kane. Whenever our defense gets on the field, that's how I feel.
Oh my gosh, man. Cut it out, Q. Cut it out, man.
Oh. This dude, man. And looking, all you sunshine pumpers out there, last year we had the lowest point per game total under Kane since 2017. Stop it. Stop it. We ain't stopped running because we got a good defensive coordinator, man.
Fair. But to be fair, I give credit where it's due that we there are some things that we have done and we do well. But to me, again, I'm always, and maybe it's just the way I'm wired. Maybe it's from Coach Saban. I don't know. But I'm always, my attention goes directly to what we're not doing well and what needs to be better. I've always been like that, even with myself. And so even though I was, and that's why I said, everybody the whole offseason kept throwing out those stats. Because again, with all due respect, a lot of people that don't watch the game like that, they're just reading numbers, right? They just go, Alabama's the best defense since, best this. And I'm like, I see the numbers and I respect them, but when you watch the tape, there's also a lot of things that we're not doing great and that needs to be better. Like even right now, if you look at it, I think right now, I think we're like doing really well with the numbers game in terms of pass defense, which is fair. But again, I still, when I watch the tape, there's still things that I'm like, all right, if we don't clean that up, we will get exposed down the road. So I'm with you.
Christian. We're talking about Alabama. There are 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference. Alabama is ranked 14th in rush defense. If we don't improve, bro, I'm ecstatic by the Georgia win. Because I was telling people, if the boy don't win this game, he gonna lose the whole fan base. Even the sunshine pump is gonna be like, wait, we may have hired the wrong guy. So I was glad that he won that game. I felt good for him. I felt good for the team, really, because they've been taking it since the Florida State game. But bro, we cannot get to our dreams and aspirations being 14th in the league against run and rush defense, bro.
No, you're right. It only gets you when it gets you. I agree 100%. That's got to get better. So there's no doubt about it.
I'm gonna say two words to you. How we on defense? We're real Pac-12-ish. Real Pac-12-ish, bro. Numbers are what they are, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being real, bro. And this guy, he was up, man. I don't know if Mo got to start calling the defense. I don't know if Chuck Morrell got to step in. Man, something got to be done, bro. Because I just, we're going to beat Vandy. We're going to beat Vandy, bro. But we're going to give us some rushing yards again, bro.
Good
rushing teams. The two teams we played, bro, that are quality opponents that both rushed over 200 yards against us. We can't sustain like that, bro. That's all I got, bro.
I agree. And I'm not going to lie, too. It's a blessing that we have such an explosive offense, because if not, brother, it definitely would be even bigger of an issue. Obviously, it is a big issue, but that's kind of helping us out right now, if I'm being honest with you. And then not only that, but one other thing that definitely maybe not being mentioned enough is the fact that we are explosive. We actually very sustainable in terms of our drives. And that's been big. Like, look at the time of possession against Georgia. We dominated them in the time of possession, even being more of a pass-heavy offense, right? More explosive. It's different than the explosive that we saw, with Milroe in the last couple of years. That was more kind of like deep shots, not really having those long, sustainable drives. Right now, with Ryan Grubb and the way they're playing, even though they're throwing the ball a good bit, the drives are much more sustainable. And so that's why it's helping kind of counter some of that stuff. But yeah, no, I'm with you, brother. We got to get it cleaned up and hopefully they find a way. Because it's not only it's Vanderbilt, but I want to say Missouri actually is running the ball even better than them, too.
Oh,
I
think
Missouri
man. Was like, oh, bro.
It might be like top, man, they might be top five.
That game scared me. That Amari Hardy, bro. He's a back. Yeah. He breaks tackles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All gotta get bro. Cleaned up.
Hey,
Cutie, I appreciate you, man. Good to hear from you, brother.
Already, man. Take it easy, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. All right. Quick timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on this Talking Tuesday. This is the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTVC.
On the game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of the game, we're going to talk Alabama Vanderbilt. We'll do it with Mike Dettillier. We'll take your scores on a Southern Owl House score prediction day. We'll talk to Hugh Millen, former NFL quarterback. He's going to share some thoughts on this Alabama offense and a lot more. Starting at 2 p.m. on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
Customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more and let's help your business score big.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends. We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
the grand opening of Primetime Men's Clinic, October 2nd from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. at 4804 Highway 69 in Northport. Primetime Men's Clinic.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon, just a small chance of a shower through the evening hours. The high today 86, the low tonight 66. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the chance of a shower stays small. Tomorrow's high at 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Talking Tuesday, it's the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right, so I want to get to head coach Kalen DeBoer's press conference from yesterday since we missed it. And I want to make sure we at least cover part of it. Now, I know it's too long to hit right here. So maybe we'll just play part of it now. So let's do this. Let me jump ahead because I know initially you kind of mentioned Georgia, which obviously we've discussed that at length. So maybe I'll start it. Here we go. We'll just start it right here. Here's head coach Kalen DeBoer from yesterday. We'll get to what we can before we hit this top of the hour break. Then we'll keep on rolling. So here we go.
You know, to really understand that piece as far as, you know, that I'm counting on them. And I understand they're counting on me too. And so a lot of young guys continue to get more and more experience, both sides of the ball, playing a number of true freshmen. And their experience is, I think, from week one to now through four games, really showing up. And we're going to continue to need those guys and some redshirt freshmen as well that playing a lot of, you know, really important towards our success. So appreciate the fans that went over there to Athens and supported us. And obviously coming back home to Bryant-Denny, you know, a place that is, it's just a great vibe. And we're going to need everything they got against a very good Vanderbilt team here coming up on Saturday. So Coach Lee, a ton of respect for him. I've known him for a long time. I knew a year ago, you could see and feel the positive movement that they had inside the program. You could see the style of play, it being team football. You know, they continue to do that. So 5-0 ranked opponent coming into our house. You know, just got to continue to keep the focus on us. Keep, you know, ignoring the noise. That's been a huge, I think, strength that's become of our football team. And they got to continue to do that. Some guys, you know, continue to learn, you know, what it takes to come each and every week to play football here in the SEC.
Start with Chase.
Yeah, there's a perception that the win over Georgia last year created some overconfidence, and it resulted in the team not taking Vanderbilt seriously enough just 7 days later. Is that fair? And if not, how do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue against that. You got to handle success, and you got to come back every single week in this league. And I've talked to, I mean, every coach I talk to at midfield, that's what the conversation's about is, you know, here you go again. And you got to reload mentally, physically, emotionally to during the week, get prepared at the highest level you possibly can. You know, go play ball physically. It's going to be a battle, and mentally, you got to be ready to respond. And so, we didn't handle success, however you want to put it, last year. Well, I mean, you can't argue that. I also think that they did a nice job executing in critical times and made plays. And so no different this week, right? We and our success that we had on Saturday, none of it matters. None of it carries over the third down stops, the third down execution on offense. It doesn't matter. Points don't carry over. Every game's its own game. There's new matchups that are going to be presented in this game that were different than last week. And so just like I talk about every play being its own play, this game is its own game.
To the right side, Charlie.
Yeah, Coach, after the game on Saturday, you talked about how you got to continue to get better in the run game. Just what does that look like? How do you accomplish that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I feel like it is taking steps, and I think it's on both sides of the ball, just better execution. Guys understanding the job, but just keep executing. And I think there were some times where we were closer, you didn't see it necessarily lead to these eye-popping numbers or these explosive plays. But I think there were times when, especially at the end of the game, you know, third quarter were 4 and 5 yard runs, you know, and at the end of the game, the last drive on first down, getting 7 yards when you know that that's what's going to happen, it's going to be a run play, and then getting a first down and then doing it again and getting 5 on the next set of downs. You know, those are important and hard yards. And so, you know, the execution just from the beginning, we want to continue to keep better. It starts with the mindset that that's what it's going to take every single week. And so just to practice, reps is what it's all about.
So I just want to pause and hit a quick note on that, because like you talked about, this was what I was saying yesterday. The running game, you know, wasn't really effective majority of the game. But when it came down to that 4-minute offense, which I said is why you need to have a solid running game for those big moments, right? When, like you said, defense, everybody knows it's a run play. Those are hard yards. We found a way to pick up yards then. So we got to find a way to duplicate that throughout the rest of the game. I mean, you were able to pick up 7 and 5 in critical moments when they know they're selling out against the run. How is that? But then it's like first, second quarter when you're about as balanced as can be, right? And they're not selling out, so to speak. It's not there. So that, like you said, a mentality, the execution. So I just wanted to pause and hit on that because I know we had a question. Is it the running backs? Is it the offensive line? It's not the backs, man. I mean, the backs have been solid. I mean, especially Kevin Riley being a big surprise and Jan being back will be big. But up front, man, just got to find a way to execute and have that mentality, not only when you have to have it, but throughout the whole game. Every running play should be no different. You should have that same mentality as if it's games on the line. We got to go dominate our box, dominate the guy in front of us, and move the football.
Sorry, I just got distracted because I was writing something down. What do you think has, you haven't turned it over through the first four games, just what do you think has led to the success in ball security, just overall on offense?
Being intentional. Repetitions in ball security circuit that we do every single day. Just, you know, showing our players. We showed clips of during the bye week of other teams losing games and moments where, you know, just a little bit of the elbow not being tight enough to the rib cage, or, you know, even a player having it high and tight, but it just not being tight enough, locking the wrists and, you know, the technically doing the things just on such a high level all the time. And, you know, being real truthful and showing times in practice or showing times in games, you know, where there's a time or two where those fundamental things aren't done perfect. So it's being intentional. It's being intentional on running to the ball defensively to cause those turnovers too. And so it's effort, it's fundamental. And I think our guys are really understanding that you win and lose games because of those things. And it's one of those things that was one of our three keys to victory was winning the turnover margin. We did that.
Let's go to Nick on the front right.
Yeah, you also won the penalty battle, if you will, in that you had fewer penalties. What can be carried over from that performance in minimizing penalties moving forward?
Yeah, and to do it on the road in that environment, you know, just proud of the guys, the way they continue to just stay the course. And they I know they got it in them. I know that the want to is there. And so just, you know, not living in the gray area, that's been a common theme for us going back to February when we really broke all the ways that you needed to, things you needed to do to win. And when we worked on the category of penalties, focusing on where we fell short a year ago, focused on other teams and NFL teams, college teams, just making sure we covered all the scenarios. And it's, you know, you're never going to cover all of them. New ones pop up all the time. And so just doing your best to really make sure the guys understand that you can't relax for one moment. You know, you get on the boundary, you get on the sideline. You got to be smart. You know, you got to figure out can I hit him or not, you know, on the quarterback, you know, just locked in on the cadence. And when there's noise, just, you know, like we had on Saturday, guys did a nice job just focusing on, you know, what we repped and locked in on doing their job.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and pause this press conference to hit this top hour break. But just piggybacking off that answer, obviously, the best thing that this staff has done is reverting back to focusing on every little detail and being intentional about it. And because we're obviously, he's explaining that and they've been doing that, and it's evident that it's been showing up, right? So really good stuff there. All right, we got to hit this top hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday edition. Again, we'll keep trucking along with this. And that way we can get to our little Vanderbilt early preview, taking a quick snapshot at those guys. And we'll do that on the other side of this break right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll be right back.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 640. That's 640. The code is 640.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
There were two NFL games on Monday night at Miami in a battle of 0-3 teams. The Dolphins defeated the Jets 27-21. The Jets had three fumbles, 13 penalties. Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill was carted off with a dislocated knee. Denver ripped Cincinnati 28-3. Bo Nix, three total touchdowns. The Bengals on the first drive of the night kicked a short field goal. After that, nine drives, five first downs, under 100 yards of offense. J.K. Dobbins of the Broncos, 16 carries, 101 yards rushing. Giants wide receiver Malik Nabers is out for the year with a torn ACL. Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy will not return. He's been offered an advisory role, but there's an opening in San Francisco. The Giants fired manager Bob Melvin. The Minnesota Twins fired manager Rocco Baldelli after 7 years there. The Mets' Carlos Mendoza will return. Reportedly, Arizona is keeping manager Torey Lovello.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer. We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Talking Tuesday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's jump back into hearing from head coach Kalen DeBoer as he previews this Vanderbilt matchup. So here we go.
Emily Grace.
Hey, coach, can we get an update on Quay and Jamarian?
Yeah, Quay. So Quay, he has a broken foot and surgery and everything. And so he won't be out for the season, but it'll be an extended amount of time here. And then Jamarian, just with everything, you know, he'll be out for the season. And so that's unfortunate. Just love that, love both of those guys. But, you know, Zebo, as we refer to him, you know, Jamarian's just, you know, he can have a healthy recovery. He'll recover fully. And so that's the main thing in the big picture of everything. But, you know, unfortunately, we won't have him back this season.
Colin on the front line.
Hey, Kalen. It seems like Ryan Williams over the course of the last few games, whether it's with, you know, drop passes or got a little flack about blocking ability against Georgia, has gotten some criticism. I'm curious about what you've seen from him, how he's handled that criticism, while also what your message to him has been over the course of the last few games to kind of overcome.
Yeah. I mean, he knows he's just got to keep progressing, keep developing, keep working. And so what I know I see on the football field in practice every single day is a guy that is working hard at it. And so we know how skilled he is, how big of a threat he is anytime he's on the field. You know, I thought he responded well. I had some nice catches and third down conversions. Had a ball late in the half there that was an explosive that helped us cross midfield and put points on the board. So I thought his response was really good. And he stayed focused. And I think really what he's locked in on is the team, you know. And again, he's not going to be perfect, just like any other guy. And we expect a lot out of him. And we've built that up for him, and he certainly wants that, you know. You know, he's just got to keep taking the steps, keep getting better, and he will. He just you know, keep working through it. But his desire to go out there and be a team player, block. I mean, it's the want to factor's there. So just got to keep working on the fundamental things, and he'll do it.
Coach, how do you think that Tim Keenan played in his return? And secondly, Vanderbilt has a lot of graduates, a lot of redshirt seniors, juniors on their offensive line. Florida State did as well. What do you think you can take from the Florida State experience with a young defensive lineman? You're going to be missing James for the first half of the game into this weekend's game.
Yeah, you know, that's something we'll talk more and more about with the team as we go through the week, starting tomorrow with James, you know, because we do have to cover for him early, you know, and when he comes in, he needs to be locked in on what's been happening, so it isn't him feeling out the process when he gets into the game. But Tim, you know, just as the week went on, I think early in the week he was a little sore and things like that, but when he got to game day, just really, I thought he played well. He's an important part of our success, and just a big hammer up in there, just, you know, holding down gaps and keeping the movement to be very minimal. So he played, you know, in our grading, he played a nice game all around. And so I don't know if I had a true number of snaps I was expecting to play, but I know he didn't play less than what I thought. You know, if anything, he played more. And so we certainly do need to rise to the occasion. As your second question, just we got to rise to the occasion and keep asking more out of our young guys, against a veteran group, like you said. And I think we're doing that. I think guys are straining in practice. I've been on the young guys as much as anything, not just at that position, but across the board, for them to understand, you know, the urgency that they got to have just in meetings and on the field, the strain that it takes. And then now they're seeing, I think you get into game day in these big games, you know, the SEC games, and, you know, they're getting it. They're figuring it out.
So, Jamie, on the front row.
Hey, Coach, the scene is set just like last year after Georgia. You've got Vandy. How do you guard against an emotional letdown after this season, after such a huge win in Athens? And also, are you going to be wearing a black hoodie on Saturday?
I think that part's, you know, I think we all know that you don't win because of that and you don't lose because of that. But I get it. I think, you know, for us, you know, you got to learn from what you've been through, right? And so the handling of success last year and then what had happened for the different reasons it happened, and then where we're at now and the opportunity that we have in front of us and what we've gone through, you take your past experiences and you have to just keep learning, and you got to keep understanding how we got now back, got our feet somewhat underneath of us, okay, and have a little bit of momentum. Okay, have, and it's just really, again, being intentional. I've referred to that in different ways here, moving with purpose. Of just, that's a common theme right now. And just the energy and the edge that our guys have played with the last three games, we cannot lose sight of how important that's been. And we know every team that comes into our place, every team we play, is getting amped up and excited to play Alabama. And we've got to take on that challenge, not just on Saturdays, but, you know, Sunday through Friday, and be ready to go.
Bye, Brian, Jonathan.
Hey, Coach, the response to the adversity your team faced on Saturday just appeared to be night and day compared to some of the recent road games. What do you think the biggest difference was?
Having gone through it and just continuing to not make it bigger than it is, keep it simple, but having gone through it and talking through it and just staying positive. I guess on the sideline, the best way I can explain it is I didn't ever feel when one side of the ball or the other was struggling, you know, or couldn't finish a drive offensively, or, you know, had a letdown defensively and, you know, you're frustrated because of an explosive run or something. I felt like it was all about the next play. I felt like it was all about, man, I want to get back on the football field, and I know we can do this, and I'm going to just keep locked in on my job. And then each side of the ball, trusting the other one, is going to just give it everything they have and leave it on the football field. And, you know, walking out of there, I don't think we were going to have any regrets on anything, because they were going to leave it out there. And so that's all I can ask of them, is just to you know, give 100% effort. And, you know, when we've 99 out of 100 isn't good enough. You know, it's got to be 100 out of 100, because that's something you can control. And so, you know, we've been pointing those things out whenever we fall just a little bit short. It's not okay that you gave 100% on all these plays in practice, and this one play woulda, coulda, shoulda, that's the one that's going to hurt you. It's the one that's going to kill you. So just proud of the way the guys have responded. And I think the game certainly showed that. It felt that on the sideline. We had less guys travel. We have less staff on the sideline. And so it was about those 74 players. It's about the coaching staff. And it was, you know, these guys kind of adopted an us against the world mentality.
We've got two more questions left. We'll go to Alex first, and we'll finish.
Speaking of responses, what did you see from Connor after that missed field goal, and how would you just sort of assess the special teams plays through four games?
Yeah, I think that kick in particular, I think we got to have better execution all the way from the snap to the hold to the kick. You know, all three of them could do a little bit better and cover for each other. It's, you know, the kicker obviously can recover and help make it better, and it wasn't that much error on the other guys to where he could make up for it, but they all three with that execution, I think, can do a better job. He's been solid, I think, again, as a special teams whole. I think the real slip up was against Wisconsin with a couple things with the kickoff. And again, you know, we put ourselves in that spot to where we had to kick from our own 20 and cover a lot more space. I was really pleased with the way we controlled their return game with Branch being a threat, both in the punt return and the kickoff returns, you know. And so we had a squib opportunity. We pinned them deep at the end of the first half, didn't let up in any way to give them any life there to feel like they could go down and even get 3 points on the board. Kicking off, you know, after we, you know, held them deep on the first one that they tried to return, really they just were all about, you know, taking the ball to 25, fair catching it. And so, you know, I think we're doing a solid job. There are so many young guys on our special teams units, and everyone, I'm not afraid to put it out there, because I think they're executing a high level. I mean, lots here, Brooks, you watch him run down there on kickoff, you know, you see him on offense, but you see him doing his things there. Dijon Lee and all those guys, I mean, they're seeing their opportunities, you know, to go out there and play at a high level and put some good film on foot film out there for people to see.
Matt wanted to clarify.
Yeah, on Jamarion, is there a chance he goes and tries to get a medical redshirt, or is he just completely done playing?
Yeah, we haven't gone on that road yet. Really haven't seen him in person, just communicating. I know he's back here around the facility here now to, you know, here finally at the beginning of the week. So, but yeah, just we haven't gone down that road yet, so don't have an answer for you there.
All right, so that'll do it for head coach Kalen DeBoer from his weekly press conference. So wanted to get that in there because we ran out of time yesterday. But that being said, we're going to hit our timeout to stay on schedule. Perfect timing, 12:15. And when we come back, we'll go back to you guys. Plus, continue previewing Vanderbilt, talking a little bit about this matchup, early preview. And again, as the week goes on, we'll get more and more in-depth in terms of what to expect and all that. But again, check us out on YouTube if you haven't already, at the Miller's Edge. You got plenty of people in the chat interacting, and good conversations going on as well. So that being said, quick timeout. We keep on rolling. We come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa CDG.
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit tremfyaradio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon. Just a small chance of a shower through the evening hours. The high today, 86. The low tonight, 66. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. The chance of a shower stays small. Tomorrow's high at 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's, all right, because we got player interviews from today, but it's a talking Tuesday, and I know you guys want to talk. We got plenty of people on the phone lines, so let's do that. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Smitty up next, 205-342-9904 is number.
Hey, what's going on, Christian?
What's up, Smitty?
Man, another day, another dollar. Man, about that game Saturday, I told you guys we were going to win. I was off on the score a little bit. But I think when it came to the run defense, I think Georgia knew they had a target. It's kind of like how the comic picked on the one guy in the crowd with the funny shirt. They knew the money. They picked on the Money Jackson and run defense, and it looked like he was soft, not setting the edge. Because you set the edge, you force them back inside to your help. You lose the edge, you have no help. You know, yeah. And I think they kept going at him. It's kind of like in the NBA, if they put me up my 5'10 stuff in the color Jokic, guess where the ball is going? Jokic, you know? I think a lot, even on, like, Saturday, I'll tell my dad, Kane Womack has a know-your-personnel problem, you know? One, we're running out of bodies. Gunnar Stockton is not Dante Moore. Don't make it easy for him with a zero blitz. If he goes 10 plays and beats you with his arm, you shake his hand. But when you give him that easy play, anybody can hit that. Because like y'all said, the money had no help. You know, it was a double move on a blitz. And I saw Mo Ling would be upset about that because Kane left his group out to dry. And with the run defense, a three-man front ain't going to cut it in mugging people because these teams know you're going to back out of it anyway. You know in football, these people know what you're going to do by the way you twiddle your thumbs, you know, on the field. And they know you're not going to send people. So they already know you're going to mug out, then you're mugging out, then you run, and you stuck. And I'll say this. One, we gave Georgia two touchdowns, not just that one crazy blitz that he called, but on fourth down they stopped Georgia and Xavier Brown had defensive holder, and it's unfair to ask that defense to stop Georgia at the 1 or 2 yard line 8 times. It's hard, you know, and I think stuff like that will lose you a game. But I think about offense real quick. They did a good job controlling the game on offense because it's not about calling plays. It's about running an offense. And when they kept losing bodies, if you go hurry up or go real fast pace, what if you don't get the first down? Now your defense is back on the field. And it impressed me with Ty Simpson with how he was making checks on the line, getting in and out of the plays. And he was cool, calm, and collective, but he didn't turn the – even when the offense bogged down in the second half, he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't take sacks when there was pressure. He got out of there, made a quick decision. And I think those are things where a quarterback helped the offensive line out. And I really think that he played a good game. And if he didn't play a good game, we would have lost that game.
Mm. Yeah, I'll say this. It was kind of a tale of two halves, right? So first half, the offense really, you know, led the charge. And then second half, the defense stepped up big, which I thought was really impressive. You talk about Quay Russo going down. I mean, that's a big injury. To James Smith ends up getting taken out, and guys kept finding ways to you know, make an impact, especially when they needed it most. And shout out to LT Overton, just completely, you know, being dominant up front. You know, Tim Keenan coming back and making an impact, helping out. But and Bray Hubbard looking good. But yeah, I think it's a number of things. But I do want to say the turnovers or lack of on offense is crucial. I think that's been one of the most impressive things. The fact that we've been so clean with the football, man. Turnover battle is huge, and the fact that we're able to protect it, and it's not like we're just, you know, playing it safe, running. I know we're throwing the ball and Ty squeezing it in windows. I mean, there's that one that probably should have been picked off, but it wasn't. But still, I mean, he's been exceptional. But yeah, in terms of, you know, guys like Damani and whatnot, I mean, with him, he's just got to be more aggressive and just take angles that are better. I think, you know, like you said, the one in the pass defense, or excuse me, the where he got beat on that double move. I mean, that was a tough spot. Like we discussed. I mean, it's cover zero, and you get hit with the double move. You're expecting the ball to come out hot because you're bringing 6-7 guys, you know, off the line of scrimmage. Normally, the quarterback has to just get rid of it quick. So when you see that receiver slow down, you're expecting that ball to be out. So to be fair, that's a really tough spot to be in. But in terms of, you know, him on the outside or providing that run support, man, he's too patient. He's taking bad angles. You know, you got to fire your gun. You got to go and attack and be aggressive. And to be fair, there's a lot of corners that shy away from a lot of stuff. But there's times that he plays physical, and there's other times where he comes off like he's shying away from contact. And I think he's just got to find a way to just really go after. But I know they have, you know, worked DJ Lee at that corner spot as well. They've rotated him in his spot. So, I mean, the way it works is, I mean, you know, I mean, if he doesn't start getting it together, I can fully see them start giving DJ Lee some more opportunities. But I think they'll figure that part out. The more important thing for me is up front, especially in this game, and you just mentioned losing bodies. You're out James Smith in the first half. You only have Yonze Pierre is the only outside backer that really has been playing. Justin Hill hadn't played really until he had to, which was last week. And then I got on the screen here on the stream talking about Vanderbilt, and I was showing the Florida State tape because somebody asked about what's a good, you know, defensive play. Well, again, it's all about matching personnel. We didn't do it a whole bunch in last year's Vanderbilt game, but Kane Womack finally has addressed this, that we need to go to more 3-4 defensive looks at appropriate times to match personnel. We've seen that a whole bunch now. What much more this year than last year? Well, the problem is now Jamarion Latham, who is a physical guy that moved to Wolf, helped set an edge. He's out for the year. Quay Russo's out a lot of time. And so, and I got on here, you see Vanderbilt, they're in, whether you want to call it 21, because it's technically a guy in the backfield, or 12, it's probably just an H-back or tight end, other tight end, whatever. You would expect to be running a lot more of these defenses, but now you don't have as many bodies. So it's going to be interesting how they find a way to counter some of that stuff, but you know, we'll have to see. But at the end of the day, they got to find a way to stop the run. And not just in this game, but moving forward, man.
Yeah, I'll say this real quick. I just said last week that this was a money game for Cade Proctor. And he showed up, you know.
Oh, yeah. And Formby. Hey, you got to give. Yeah. I think Formby was like the highest graded pass blocking offensive lineman. So, look, I got to give him his flowers. I know a lot of people have been critical of him. And look, to be fair, he's not played great football up to this point until last game. But he played really well, and really the whole offensive line out. So I think Vandermark gave up a pressure and a penalty. But other than that, yeah, those guys are clean. And think about it, dude, we played Sanders. He was playing. He got like 20-something snaps. Vandermark, Jaden Roberts got a few snaps. Michael Carroll got snaps. Hell, we even saw the other true freshman left tackle get in there at one point. What's his name? The guy from California, Jackson Lloyd. Yeah, so, yeah, you got to tip the hat to the whole unit, bro. But, yeah, Caden Proctor finally – he played how he thought he should be playing. So hopefully they can build off of that.
Yeah, and I'll say this before I run. Thanks for taking my call as always.
Sure.
If you notice, when Savion Brown had a defensive holder, he took a seat next to the coach. Ryan Williams was missing block. He took a seat next to the coach. And I think that wasn't broadcasted, you just like look up and oh man, they sitting down. Because that stuff's critical because we don't have the margin of error for that type of stuff, especially today's college football when you don't have any depth. You know, no one really does. And I still think of the BS rule with targeting where you sit somebody out for a half of the next game. But the guy who went in like, did an Uso splash targeting and then get called for targeting. I didn't hear to get called for targeting, but you know what I mean? How did he not get called for targeting? But James Smith making a tackle, or that's targeting. That just boggles my mind. But I think with Vanderbilt, right? I just think that with those people, you just have to, like Bill Belichick says, do your job. Don't try to be a hero. Because you're going to be on SportsCenter doing your job, or you're going to be on SportsCenter looking like a fool. Which one do you want? Because if they beat you going down the field, then you do your job, you shake their hand. But if you're out of place, and mind you, we got seniors at middle linebacker, they don't have eye discipline. It's like, that's a problem, in my opinion. You've been in school way too long for that. You've been in school since Joe Biden was at all, first ran. And you still can't handle eye discipline. I understand that was Justin Hill, a young guy. And I liked his snaps, too. But I just think you have to do your job. And I don't care if you win by one or you 20. It's just about winning the game. And you don't want these guys showing you up on your field. You already made the guy famous last year. You don't want to. And like I said, I forgot to say this. The thing I think will help them out this year, because Vanderbilt did not run a hurry-up offense last year. They just possessed the ball. The way they run offense now, it's not a feast of famine offense, because Ty Simpson is more of that guy who can move the chains. And I'm not knocking Milroe in this, because you know everybody has different games. Because every quarterback's not the same. But he was a feast of famine. He'll get that. He's that guy who walks around 50s and 100s in his pocket. There ain't no 10s in his pocket. Ty, he might, like last week against Georgia, you had to control that game with the way they run the ball. You run out of bodies. And I think that might help them with that style of offense. I'm not knocking a guy. I'm just pointing out they're too different, and maybe they'll do two different things. That may help them out. But, hey, you have a good one, Christian.
That's fair. Appreciate you, Smitty. Yes, sir, you too, man. Good deal. Good stuff as always. All right, let's hit this timeout to stay on schedule. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on this Talking Tuesday. It's the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort,
TCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9000.
Making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Demerson Square, downtown.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arc Support Experts. Quick reminder, not even a reminder, this is something new. I always tell you about our friends over at R&R Cigars. Make sure you guys check them out. But I'll just show you this off my phone, man. Here's a sneak peek. Hopefully I'm good to show you this, guys. But you got your special edition victory cigars for that Tennessee game coming up, man. You see the football on there again. Or maybe I should wait. I think you guys are familiar with this, and hopefully I'm not breaking anything. I'm not supposed to. Like news, I mean. But if you go, if you want one of those, screw it, man. We'll leak it. We'll leak it. But anyways, if you want one of those, they're sick, man. It's got the football in there, and it's custom for this Tennessee game. Make sure you go to rnrcigars.com, but use code Miller's Edge because you'll get 20% off. Now, I know that game is, a little bit down the road, but trust me, go ahead and get them early because those things, they're limited. They can sell out quick. Everybody wants those for that Tennessee game, especially this one, right? It's going to be another revenge game. Make sure you guys get them early. rnrcigars.com, code Miller's Edge, 20% off. Again, that's that custom Tennessee edition victory cigar that the players also will be smoking. So if you guys want to have that, make sure you guys get it from there. rnrcigars.com, code Miller's Edge. All right. That being said, quick little, talking point real quick before we go back to the phone lines again. We're talking about Vanderbilt. We're talking about some of these matchups in this game. Again, Vanderbilt, option-based attack. We know they're led by Diego Pavia. Again, Coach Lee has done a really nice job with this football team. But looking at their offense, you know what you're going to get out of these guys, right? They're going to use some option elements, RPO elements. They also get in the gun and throw the football. But it's really tough to defend because there's so many things that you've got to be able to defend as a defense, right? You got to play disciplined football. Understand that you've got to respect your assignment. If you're a dive player, quarterback player, you can't be getting, you know, having your eyes in other places. You got to lock in and do your job in these games. And then we also were looking on the stream. You can see I'm pulling up different looks from Vanderbilt. But in terms of personnel groupings, they run a lot of 12 personnel. Again, one running back, two tight ends. What does that mean? Well, you typically match that with more of a true base defense, whether it's a 3-4 or 4-3. You need bigger guys out there, right? So you can set a physical edge. That way you're not requiring the nickel corner to be on one side trying to set an edge, right? It just helps you out. So that being said, the issue is we only got three Wolves right now that are healthy. Zeebo, Jamarion Latham, he's out for the year. Quay Russo just underwent surgery on his foot. He's out for an extended period of time. And so now you've got Yonze Pierre and then a true freshman, Justin Hill, stepping up. And then Noah Carter, a redshirt freshman, who's probably going to have to be relied on to rotate in there some as well. I wouldn't be shocked if you see some movement, right? Maybe one of the bandits, whether a guy like Keon Keeley or, you know, Jordan Renaud, who are pretty athletic, maybe they get moved over, take some reps on that side, and only for like certain situations, maybe just so you can have more of a physical presence, right? Because in this game, this team wants to run the football. I believe they're 18th nationally in their rushing offense, and you got to be physical up front, right? So we got to figure out that personnel wise defensively, but in terms of just stopping it, man. I mean, again, Diego Pavia, I know he's a running quarterback, but he can make the throws that you need him to make. He does a really good job with this offense. And we all know how last year it was quite the challenge, you know, the shovel play, right? The option they're running, and even, you know, him taking the shots and throwing the football. You know, it's a tough team to defend, right? So we're going to have our work cut out for us defensively. I'm not going to lie. And we'll definitely dive in more deeply, I guess, throughout the week in terms of how do we stop this offense and so forth. But then a quick little snapshot on the other side of the football, looking at their defense, they actually do a really good job stopping the run. They're one of the top teams in rushing defense. However, technically, we're not really doing so much of that anyways, or we're trying to. It's just not as effective as we would like. However, they are vulnerable in the secondary. They were like 70-something. Now they're about 55th in terms of passing defense. But if you turn on the tape, man, there's definitely going to be a lot of opportunities down the field, which obviously we've had a lot of success through the air. So I'll be completely honest with you. I mean, I definitely think it's a good matchup. I think they're going to present some challenges 100% for us defensively, but I just don't think defensively on their part, they're going to be able to keep up with this high-powered offense that we've seen from Ryan Grubb and Ty Simpson and company. So I expect it to be one of those games. I mean, I could see it being – I'm definitely not going to say like a shootout, but I can see us putting up a number of points, them probably scoring some points themselves, but they just long-term, I guess, throughout the game, I just don't see them having the ability to keep up. Now, we all know last year there was nobody picking them and they found a way, so we'll have to see. But they've got Johnny Football on their sideline, so we'll see, I guess, what he can help bring to the table. Obviously nothing, but anyway, that being said, again, just quick little snapshot, and I'll throw in a couple more things, but I want to make sure we have plenty of time for all our phone calls, 205-342-9904. We got Ellis up next. Ellis, welcome in. Ellis, you still there? Going once, twice. Sounds like somebody's there, but maybe not. All right, we'll keep on rolling for now. All right, we got Pat up next. Pat, welcome in.
Man, I hate we missed Ellis. Love Ellis's phone calls. But, hey, what I'm questioning about, and you demand to tell us this answer, how are we going to be able to stop that triple option? We had fits with it last year. With only a three-man front, I always thought that a four-man front with outside linebackers worked a little better maybe on that type of triple option versus but again, you got to maintain containment, and you got to maintain all your lane integrities and stuff with your linebackers and things. It's just crazy. What do you think?
Yeah, and that's why I was speaking on that outside backer spot with, you know, the lack of depth right now due to so many injuries. That does concern me. But you're right. I mean, I like playing, you know, 3-4 defense against these options.
You there? Hello? Hello?
Hey, Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I can't hear nobody else.
Okay, good deal. Sorry. It kind of was acting funny for a second. But basically what I was saying was I always like having outside backers to defend the edges, especially with these option-based attacks. But the problem is with them, it's not like a traditional option attack. It's more so like there's added elements, right, where they got RPOs out of it. They'll throw the football. I mean, the play that I just played here, they end up taking a shot, and is, you know, great play design. They've got technically three flat threats, and this always gives defenders a problem because you're trying to figure out who has who. Even I don't even think one of them is even eligible right here. But yeah, so you got to be able to defend a lot. The problem is we're lacking depth at that outside backer spot. So those young guys are really going to have to step up and grow up really quick because we're going to need them in this football game.
How many times did he throw a shovel pass out of that last year? Seemed like to me he threw a shovel pass three or four different times or more out of that setup. I mean, and it killed us each time he did it.
Yeah, I was about to say the shovel pass definitely got us a number of times, but it with the fact that it had so much success last year, I mean, if I would be completely shocked if there's no way they did not go over that in practice the whole week and be prepared for it. But it definitely man, it crushed us last year. But that all comes down to discipline. Again, you got to have good eye discipline to understand. Like, I know my eyes, I'm seeing people cross my face. It looks like they're trying to hit the perimeter and do this or hand the ball off. But if my key tells me to close and squeeze, I close and squeeze. That's how you have success against these offenses, Pat, is you have to follow your keys and play assignment football. You can't get caught up with everything else you're seeing. Don't pay attention to that. Just do your job, and I promise you'll have much more success that way.
Well, Keon Keeley is going to have to put on his big boy pants and make a difference in this ball game in order for us to win. I think that he's got to step it up and be the player that he was supposed to be coming out of high school. Do you not agree?
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. I mean, I know he's doing what he can, right, trying to develop as fast as possible, try to be the best player possible. But I will say I do agree that there might be some more opportunities. I know he plays Bandit now. He's not at the Wolf spot, but wouldn't be shocked if they do try to move a body from over there just to add some extra depth, and maybe he's one of those guys, and maybe this is a chance for him to step up and make an impact with guys being down. So I would love that for him. I mean, come out of high school, I mean, he's shown a lot. The only thing is he's put on some weight. He's like 270, or he was. So not exactly the same build that, you know, you expected him to be when he was playing more of that wolf spot, but athletically, I think he would be all right. He kind of would be similar to, you know, Jamarion Latham in terms of athleticism. So I think he'd be fine if you needed him to go on that side and handle some more responsibilities.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Well, I'm getting this Sunday to Saturday thing here is shaping up to be a big time deal. And obviously game day seems to think so too.
I hope it's a good one, man.
I do believe this, is no matter about that defense, I think Ty's going to put up 45 or better for us, and that it's going to all be okay. And it'd be like we'd like, because I'd like to beat them down like a stepchild and hold them down under 20 points. But that might not happen. It may be that we got to beat them with Ty's arm. We'll see.
I think
Ty's
going to have a big game.
Yeah, I got confidence in Ty. All right. Hey, have a blessed afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pat. Good deal. All right, let's do this, Chase. Let's go ahead and hit our final timeout. When we come back, we wrap things up on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Ty 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We'll be right back.
On the game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of the game, we're going to talk Alabama Vanderbilt. We'll do it with Mike Dettillier. We'll take your scores on a Southern Ohio score prediction day. We'll talk to Hugh Millen, former NFL quarterback. He's going to share some thoughts on this Alabama offense and a lot more. Starting at 2 p.m. on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Now for your free exit info kit, 800-619-3377. That's 800-619-3377.
Paid for by Wesley Financial Group.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon. Just a small chance of a shower through the evening hours. The high today 86, the low tonight 66. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. The chance of a shower stays small. Tomorrow's high at 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, Talking Tuesday edition. Well, I guess we could probably save that. Nah, we got a couple minutes here. Coach Saban was at the quarterback club, and he got asked about Vanderbilt. So I'll let you guys hear his thoughts on this Vanderbilt team this year.
The Vanderbilt game this weekend.
Yeah, I haven't watched Vanderbilt yet, but I have watched them on TV. I think these guys are a really good football team. I think, you know, Clark Lee has done a fabulous job, you know, there. Obviously, Diego is a really good quarterback. They got a really good running back. But this is actually a little better team, in my opinion, just watching them. I'm talking about all the way around defensively and all that, than even what they had a year ago. So, you know, the one thing I think, they're a ball control team. And, you know, one of the big differences in Alabama's team that I see that could be a big benefit in this game is a year ago, you know, there was a lot of three and outs and a lot of big plays. This year, They sustained the ball. So just like in a Georgia game, you know, they kept the ball, the time of possession, even though Georgia, seldom do you see the team with more rushing yards have less time of possession, which was the case in that game, because they're good on third down. I hope we can continue to run the ball a little bit better and improve in that area. But keeping the ball away from the other team is still something that's really important to do when they have significant players on the other side and you keep giving them opportunities.
So that was Coach Saban speaking on this Vanderbilt football team. I know a lot of people keep kind of saying, oh, well, like Keith in the chat saying, well, how do we know they haven't played anybody? Well, they did play South Carolina. They look good there. And I know South Carolina, you know, they are what they are right now. But still, I mean, so even Coach Saban said, I mean, saying they're not a good football team. I know you didn't say that, but they're a good football team. Now, time will tell as they play better opponents, but they definitely have a lot of players and things about them that you have to respect, and that's just a fact. But all right, let's get Ragged on here as we close things out. Ragged, you with us?
Well, yes. I thought I would get on with you a little bit sooner, okay? First of all, man, okay, outside callers. Callers are calling in. Outside looking in, it's easy to critique, okay? My defensive coordinator is Kane, K-A-N-E, Womack. W-O-M-M-A-C-K. It's not Womack. Okay? We are where we are because he is actually getting this put together. I had the utmost faith in this. And we are going to beat Vanderbilt here. This is our home. This is our turf. He will have it figured out. So all y'all that were calling in and worried about this and that and critiquing certain plays or calls or whatnot, you know what? Y'all relax. It's time to have faith and believe. He's getting paid for a job. And he's going to have it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, no, I definitely am all about paying respect 100%. You guys know how I am. But I think it's also fair to, I mean, if you have a critique where, you know, we haven't showed up in certain spots, I mean, I think that's also fair. I think that's kind of part of it. And I'll be honest with you, Greg.
Let me tell you this.
Giving up 200 yards plus on the ground in two occasions so far through four games, right? I mean, that's not good football, right? So we got to clean that up. And I think there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that.
Yes. I agree with you. Totally. But this is how we learn. We are number 10 right now, and we're getting better. This nation needs to be aware of the tide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always remind you guys, man, this show, again, other shows are welcome to do how they do, but on this show, our job is to analyze, right? Not be biased. We're not cheerleaders. Our job is to talk football based off of what the tape shows. So if the tape shows we're not playing the run well, that's how we're going to address it. So it's not that we don't have faith. Again, I'm a former player. I want us to be number one in every category, Ragged. But the fact is, if we're not playing good football against the run, I got to address that. I got to talk about it because that's what this is about on here. Rag, we appreciate you as always, brother. Good deal. All right, I guess he don't like that. Look, here's the thing, guys. Just real quick, just a reminder, man. Our job is about breaking down football. It's not about, you know, holding pom-poms and stuff and pumping sunshine just for, you know, S's and giggles, brother. We talk ball, man, as former players, what we do. So, all right, that being said, we got to get out of here. Appreciate everybody, Chase behind the glass, doing his thing. All our listeners, Tide 100.9, YouTube, Facebook, appreciate you guys, as always, for joining us on this Talking Tuesday. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow with you right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We'll see you guys then.